Cinnabon Jovi. Skyline Chili Idol. Chick-fil-A AC/DC.
No one is safe.
A modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
Oh, my name's Mike Royer.
In today's show, we talk this TV's fall TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Some Marvel changes happened.
Yes.
A ton of casting announcements.
Okay.
And more.
Oh, I got some updates, man.
You got some updates?
I got some updates. So I saw Ant-Man for the third time this weekend.
You've seen Ant-Man more than I have. I don't know how to feel about this.
I know, and I mean, it's a good movie. It's not like specifically I'm going to see it because I just can't get enough, but I just keep seeing it with different people every time. Uh-huh. So this time, my third time, I specifically looked for that shadow, that mysterious silhouette in the quantum realm in that in the end of the movie.
Uh-huh.
And I saw it this time. This Whoa. Time I actually saw it.
And what do because you think?
Because before, what I was hearing, it's kind of more towards the end. It's towards the end of that scene, but I feel like it's almost towards the middle. Like, and someone, I heard it's supposed to be like in the corner or something like that. No, it's actually a reflection off of his helmet is where you see it. So I don't know if it's necessarily like if you call it reflection, but it's just kind of a shadow that goes around his helmet. He looks like he's kind of in the bottom right hand corner of the screen. But I got to see the shadow, and it does kind of resemble the outline of the Wasp from that ballistic missile flashback.
Okay, so you have a feeling it's the Wasp.
Yes, that would be my guess.
I would agree with you. If I was to bet someone, it would be the Wasp.
Yeah, and you know, if it wasn't the Wasp, it's a vague enough silhouette to where it could really be anything. So who knows? It would be interesting to see what they would do, like why they would bring the old Wasp back, because we know we've already set up that we're going to have a new Wasp. You know, I don't know. It could be kind of a cool family dynamic, you know, since this Ant-Man was all about family. So might as well keep the theme if they make a sequel to it in Phase 4 or Phase 5 or whatever phase it ends up coming back. But
well, I think they don't need to necessarily bring back a Wasp, but like Hank Pym searching for his wife mm-hmm. would be interesting.
Yeah, so that would be kind of cool. And also, I have some good news for everybody.
Lay it on us.
All right, so, you know, we're in this lull right now where we, you know, people don't have things to watch. You know, the summer movie season's winding down. We still got about another, you know, 3 weeks to a month till some of our shows start back up. Well, I have good news for everybody. You can bide your time by watching Mr. Robot.
Yeah, I wondered when you were going to push Mr. Robot on it a little
bit. Me and my wife just binge-watched it this last week.
10 episodes, right?
Yeah, 10 episodes. The last episode just aired last week. And it is an amazing show. Holy cow. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily... It's not superhero-related at all, but it's definitely nerd-related. It's all about hacking. And it's the only accurate depiction that you'll ever find of, like, computer hacking in movies or television. So it's just awesome the way they take it seriously. They even make a funny joke at it where they're watching the characters are watching, like, an old hacking movie and stuff like that. And they're just like, now, I have never seen, like, a Linux display that had a visual display before or something like that. It was really funny. But I have a friend that works security for Amazon up in Seattle, and he loves the show, and he said he's never seen anything so accurate. So, I mean, if he's definitely at the top of his game right now. So, I mean, this show is just so good. You got to go watch it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's on my to-do list. Again, I'm still finishing Twin Peaks.
Last week you said you were going to finish that and start watching Arrow.
Well, the problem with that is I didn't realize how long those episodes are. Like 42 minutes is pretty busy. And I actually got asked to do some wedding photography this weekend, so that took up a chunk of my time.
I see.
So it's been busy, but I mean, I'm less than 10 episodes away. from finishing
that. Okay.
And
well,
that's like that's almost a Mr. Robot season. So
yeah. Well, we can vape a little bit more here because it looks like our news list will kind of be fast and loose. But I had a light bout of food poisoning this weekend, so ooh. I had a chance to watch more Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
So I
finally finished season one, and I've kind of rolled a couple episodes. I'm like one or two episodes into season two, that's the last season, right?
Yeah,
just two seasons, right?
Yeah, 2 of 26.
Yeah, so it's actually really, really cool. Like, they had this crazy, like, grandiose, basically Avengers movie, like, level of action towards that end of the season in Asgard, and that was really crazy. So it's just so cool to see everything that you can do in an animated television show that would just cost millions and millions and millions of dollars to do, like with live action. So it's just really fun. I mean, I can't stand the opening theme song. I cannot stand that song.
Now, does Netflix not skip that for you?
Well, it depends, because usually that opening theme song comes after that initial block, because it doesn't always start with that. Sometimes you get that stinger.
Oh, you get that cold opening, yeah.
So sometimes I'm forced to stick with it. I'm too lazy to scrub forward through it, so I'm just like, oh, I can't stand that fucking music.
See, I used to feel the same way, but it grew on me.
Yeah, well, this bizarre things happens in the second season where there's a voiceover now, so now a lot of the song is covered up with a voiceover announcing, like, the characters. So, yeah, but I mean, it's definitely, like, a kid's show. So, I mean, you have to be a pretty big Marvel fan to kind of watch it. I don't think anybody who just kind of enjoys the movies would kind of stick with it unless they're, you know, they're kind of younger. I think most adults might not take the time to watch it, but it's really cool. You'll see things that they'll never be able to do in the movies.
Well, I think what I really enjoyed about Earth's Mightiest Heroes is that they got the voice actor who sounds like Robert Downey Jr. to play Iron Man.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
He's pretty good at that. And again, about the intro part, they do the theme song, but depending on who's in the episode, the silhouette of people under the Avengers symbol changes.
Yeah, I've been seeing that, too. I've noticed that I watched an episode and Giant Man wasn't on there, and I was like, oh, that's because, yeah, he left or whatever.
Yeah. But what you're going to see in season two is they start focusing on more obscure Marvel characters. The Guardians make an appearance.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm glad that they started off right off the bat with the Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom, so that was cool.
Yeah, a lot of this builds up to a bigger second end of this season.
Oh, cool.
So it's really awesome. They cover a lot of great comic book story arcs. The end of it in Asgard is from Fear itself.
Oh, cool.
Which had actually was going on kind of when I watched that too, so like it was really fresh and that was really good. The Skrull invasion, secret invasion, is taking place. Have you run into Mockingbird yet?
Yeah, Mockingbird. Okay. Mockingbird was in the first season, wasn't she?
She might have been. I know she's used kind of sparingly.
Yeah, but
sparrowingly.
Yeah, but we've talked. We've talked some trash about the show that replaced it, Avengers Assemble. So I think I'm gonna watch just a couple episodes of that afterwards, so at least I can speak honestly to not liking it.
Yeah, they gave the first episode was free on iTunes for a while, and it's I think most of it's actually on Netflix still. And I didn't care for it, but I think you're really, really going to fall in love with season two. You notice they changed the art as well for the characters.
Yeah, everything's a little different, which is kind of cool. I like to see the show evolve a little bit.
Yeah, so cool. I want to hear more on this as we go.
Go watch Earth's Mightiest Heroes and Mr. Robot.
Yes, so great, and not Twin Peaks. I wouldn't recommend Twin Peaks unless you're like really feeling twisted.
Yeah, but
that show
fucks
me up.
Yeah, but after Twin Peaks, what are you going to watch?
Arrow, which actually is our first topic today.
Yeah, I fed you that one.
You did. Well, I thought you were feeding it to me like 5 minutes ago, and then we kept riffing.
I kept going. I had more stuff I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, no, not bad. So Arrow is on season four. I can't believe that. Like, that's huge. A lot of shows, you know, get three seasons and they're done. Arrow seems strong. I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah. And those are full seasons. Those are 23 episodes each season. That's nothing to scoff at.
Yeah, not at all. So this week we got a lot of Green Arrow stuff since the show's premiering later this month or early next month. Mm-hmm. The first thing is a Coast City postcard. Coast City, it says, "In brightest day, in blackest night, come to Coast City where money's tight." All right.
Oh.
Are you familiar with Coast City off the top of
your head? Coast City is, that's Green Lantern's home.
Yeah, so essentially in the DC universe, every superhero has, like, their own city they protect that are not, like, real cities. And I feel Coast City is kind of like Miami for us.
Maybe. Yeah, it does have that Miami vibe, especially with all those hotels on the coastline there.
Yeah, and Coast City is where Green Lantern resides, and, you know, that's a pretty blatant, even the in Brightest Day and Blackest Night is the beginning of the Green Lantern's oath. Mm-hmm. And they referenced Green Lantern in Flash last season, which we know is in the same universe. So do you think that Green Lantern will make an appearance on these TV shows, or do you think they're just going to, you know, cock tease us for the whole season?
I don't know. It's really hard to say. I mean, if it's true that they killed off Deadshot in the Arrow universe because they were going to be using him in the movies, I don't know. It just seems strange. I mean, we're getting a Green Lantern movie at some point in time with Warner Brothers. There's no way that they don't use this character. And it seems like they're going to be having multiple Green Lanterns in that film. So it seems weird that, like, you know, what is the criteria for Warner Brothers to kind of not want a character on TV or let it go and make it okay? But then at the same time, every time I think about superhero TV shows, I always think about the TV budget and how do you make Green Lantern's powers translate? You know, I guess it's not too hard, you know, because if you're just kind of doing computer effects just on green light, that might be actually kind of simple, you know, since it's just, you don't have to texturize it or anything like that. It's just mm-hmm. green light. So that actually could be pretty simple now that I think about it, but I don't know. Well, it would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think about that logic, too. Like, oh, they're going to use him in the movie, so they're not going to use him on the TV. But then The Flash has his own TV series, and will have his own movie.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. Like, I don't understand what is okay and what isn't okay with Warner Brothers. Because Deadshot was such a minor character in the Arrow universe. He was only ever in maybe 4 episodes a season. I mean, it was so minor. I don't understand why they would have such a big deal with him. So when it comes to these giant heroes and them okaying it, I just don't understand what their logic is.
Yeah, I hope they show him. Green Lantern is my favorite DC character, and I mm-hmm. hope they kind of give him some love. Not anything against Ryan Reynolds. I think that movie's shit, but I think it's the writing and the editing of that film that really hurt it, mm-hmm. Rather than the acting. But I hope they do bring Green Lantern in, and it doesn't have to be in full force. He doesn't have to be all-powerful or godlike, but like maybe a more subtle Green Lantern.
Yeah, I mean, do you think you would want to see him in his own show, or do you kind of want to just see him like team up or pop in every once in a while?
He's better in a team. Definitely better in a team. Honestly, I think the DC said it was a Flash Green Lantern combo movie coming out eventually. Mm-hmm. I think it's they're separate now, but that was a big rumor for a while. But I think Green Lantern will work best as we introduce him slower to people to get that mm-hmm. the old movie's taste out of our mouths. Before they bring him full force.
Yeah, that would be cool, man. If we could get like a decent revival of a Constantine through Arrow and then get some Green Lantern in there, I mean, there's going to be no reason not to watch these shows full of all these awesome characters.
Unless you're talking about our next person, which is Diggle, who's getting a costume, which looks god-awful, to be honest.
I don't think this is 100% original by now, since the photo's been out for a while, but you coined what's his name?
When I saw it, I'm like, oh, it's Dignito. And not because he's Nito, it's because he looks like he's got on Magneto's helmet.
Yeah, it's a strange look.
And like his eyes are like obviously they look like they're popping out of his head a little bit in this one.
I mean, I'm really curious what the hell I'm looking at.
Well, see, so at the end of season 3 of Arrow, and I know nothing, I haven't seen it, but I read, I follow to stay in the mm-hmm. loop, is that, you know, Diggle is learning that he needs to have a secret identity because he's now married, mm-hmm. and B, he needs to protect himself more with armor. Mm-hmm. So this is to protect himself and keep his identity secret as well, as it moves forward through the Arrow universe.
Yeah, it just looks more like a bizarre kind of motorcycle helmet, because I wouldn't necessarily say his fancy leather jacket is armor in any sort of the way.
I think so. It looks like it's over something, though.
Maybe.
Like, it's, like, armored on the inside.
Yeah, I just imagine Diggle picking up this helmet and putting it on, and then just everybody else in the Arrow crew kind of just laughing and making fun of him because he looks ridiculous. So I'm kind of curious how they make him look cool.
Yeah, hopefully they can make him look cool. Honestly, This looks like Diggle tried to do Magneto cosplay, and it ended up pretty horrible.
Yeah.
But honestly, Arrow has some pretty bad things. I don't know if you remember. I called him Black Wolverine. Iron Bronze Panther, I think was his name.
Yeah. There's always been some cheese kind of in the Arrow show, but I feel like there's enough good there to make it through. Like even Flash, I consider Flash to be a stronger show than Arrow right now, but that's just because Arrow has finished its third season. The first season of Arrow is so good. But there's always some cheese through this show, and I think it's just kind of the more family nature to it. You know, you can actually sit down with, if you have kids, and you can watch these shows without worrying too much. So there's always a little bit of cheese, a little bit of ricotta running through, but it's enough to make it through.
Yeah. Well, on top of all this, we also got a trailer for season 4 of Arrow, and I watched it only because I'm trying to get myself excited to watch Arrow, which is a very, very hard task for me because it comes off as such a dark, dreary show compared to the rest that are on. But the trailer gives us a lot to look forward to in season 4, especially like villains, a Green Arrow costume, actually becoming the Green Arrow as we know him. And so on and so forth. And I know you didn't watch it, but you know, here's the trailer for people to watch if you guys want to.
Yeah, I kind of specifically didn't watch it because, as everybody knows, if you listen to this show, I'm a big fan of costume reveals, and the CW is awful with costume reveals for sure. So they're always blowing it. So I would like to watch the show and see his new costume pop up. That would be fun. And also, season 3 ended on such an odd note. I just have no idea how this new season's going to open. So I'm just going to leave that open for just some fun. So I just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean it's no Supergirl, which is next, but I mean Arrow season 4 looks like it's going to be pretty good.
Well, so, I hope you start watching it so we can talk about it together.
Yes. Something I probably won't watch though is Supergirl. Which is our next topic. So, it does not exist in the same universe as the Arrow and Flash, and I don't know if it ever will. Chances are probably a big hell no. The first image of Lucy Lane, the younger sister of Lois Lane, has appeared online through Entertainment Weekly.
And so just seems like a light. This just seems like we're going to make this exactly the same as Superman. We're going to make it as close as we can, but we're just going to swap out the characters whoever's close enough. Like, oh, we can't do a Superman TV show, we'll do a Supergirl TV show. Oh, we can't get Lois Lane? Oh, let's get her sister, Lucy Lane.
Yeah, so Lucy Lane is played by Channing Tatum's wife. I think Jenna Tatum. And honestly, I mean, I don't know. She looks like some hot girl who's going to come in and mess up Supergirl's life on the personal level rather than the superhero level.
She looks a little sassy.
She looks like she's going to give a lot of sass. The father of Lois Lane and Lucy Lane, I think, is General Lane. Has been cast as Glenn Morshower. And if you look at Glenn Morshower, he's actually been in several. He's been in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's been in X-Men and Transformers. If you look at him, and I will put an image on the YouTube video for this, he is the go-to guy when you think movie or TV general.
Like, oh, yeah.
This, like, if you're like, I need to cast a general on my TV show, who am I going to get? Oh, I'm going to get Glenn Morshower because, by God, he is a general in everything.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're more familiar with the stand-up comedian Jim Gaffigan, he kind of looks like Jim Gaffigan's, like, brother or cousin.
like the serious dad of Jim Gaffigan who disapproves of his comedian son.
Yeah, the serious Gaffigan. Senior Gaffigan.
Yeah, so he was in two Transformers movies, X-Men First Class, Black Hawk Down, Good Night, Good Luck. Like, if you look at his list of things, Admiral, Medical, Lieutenant, Colonel, Agent, FBI Agent, Captain, Lieutenant Colonel. Like, oh my God. Like, this guy has been typecast out the ass.
As long as it's paying his bills, he probably doesn't care.
Yeah, so he's playing General Lane in the upcoming Supergirl. Another casting announcement for Supergirl is a guy named Itto Goldberg. And I've never heard of him before, but he's playing two characters in the show.
Okay.
So apparently he's like a British Israeli actor. And he was in Secret Diary of a Call Girl. He was in the movie Defiance with Daniel Craig and Lou Schreiber. But He will be in Supergirl as Dr. T.O. Morrow, as in, you read it, it's tomorrow.
Like, that's just as bad as, like, Dr. Acula.
Yeah, so, like, that was pretty horrible. But he's also going to be playing the Red Tornado, who's an android in the comics.
Okay, so maybe these are connected in the DC comic universe, and we just don't know because we're not seasoned readers.
Well, I did some looking at Dr. Tomorrow, who's, I'm just gonna call him Dr. Tomorrow, fuck it, is a villain in the DC comics, and the android Red Tornado is actually a hero in the comics.
So maybe Dr. Tomorrow makes like an android in his own image or something, and then that android becomes a hero or something.
Yeah, so in the comics he created the Red Tornado. Dr. Tomorrow created these androids called Red Tornado, Red Inferno, Red Torpedo, Red Volcano.
I nailed it just off the top of my head. I didn't even know.
Yeah, but Red Tornado ends up becoming a hero in the comics. So
okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
But he plays them both.
Okay.
So I don't know. Supergirl's still on the fence for me. I've not watched the pilot. I need to add. I watched some other pilots this week. I need to add that to the list before I forget. But
yeah, I'll give it a shot. I saw the pilot. You know, I'll probably watch it one more time. I don't think the wife has seen it yet, so I'll watch it with her, and I'll watch maybe another episode or so, see how it kind of feels. But as we said before, I mean, you don't have to watch a show just because they're making it, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's good, if you don't have time to fit it in, you just don't have time, you know? It's kind of like the good first world problem we're having right now. There's too much, not enough time.
Choosy moms choose
super
TV shows. Yeah, that too. Yeah, if you don't watch it, no big deal. But if you choose to watch that one and that one alone, more power to you. Let us know. Like, I want to know what you guys are watching this fall. We got a big lineup.
Yeah.
We're going to jump a little bit to the DC Cinematic Universe, the movies.
Okay.
Wonder Woman has begun production, or is getting close to production, and it's going to be under the name Nightingale.
Okay.
You know, because they go under different production titles, so people don't know, hey, this is Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure what that means in terms of the Wonder Woman universe.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Nightingale is like some sort of connection with like the Florence Nightingale, like Florence Nightingale mm-hmm. syndrome, but I don't know.
I'm kind of more curious. It's going to be really interesting going into these single character Warner Brothers DC movies. Just because we're pretty well connected with these Marvel heroes. We know their backstory pretty well. We've read them in comics. We've seen them in animated movies. And we've seen them in animated TV shows. So we know them pretty well. So when we go into the movies, we pick up on a lot of these little Easter eggs and stuff. And it's really fun. But it's going to be kind of a different scenario going into like a Wonder Woman movie. I really don't know anything about Wonder Woman. I know kind of how her powers work. I know she's kind of Amazonian, but I feel like with DC, I feel like they can kind of retcon things pretty regularly, like where they come from, what's their origin.
Well, they do that in the comic. They do a reboot like almost every 6 to 10 years in their comics anyway, so it'll be fine.
Yeah,
so make it up as they feel.
Yeah, so it'll be kind of it actually might be kind of cool going into a movie like literally not knowing anything. Like I just know very little bit about Wonder Woman, so maybe if they don't do her backstory justice, I won't really notice. And I'll just
We can judge the film for its merits rather than our ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's about it for Wonder Woman. We're going to keep that one simple. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Fantastic Four?
Oh, unfortunately.
Oh, you didn't boo that one. I'm surprised.
But, well, I said unfortunately. My steamed broccoli is kind of cooling.
Well, Stan Lee hasn't even seen the newest one yet. I figured he watches it any movie he's in, but he's not in that one.
Yeah, so why?
Yeah, he didn't even watch it. But I also found out it's the second biggest loss of the year so far behind Tomorrowland.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went and I looked it up on Box Office Mojo. Obviously... most of the movies out there, especially summer movies, make a big chunk of their change internationally. So I think total gross right now, I think it's around like 150 with domestic and international. So it could be close to breaking even right now, but it's doing horrible domestically. Domestically, I think it's only around $50 million, which is awful for a summer blockbuster.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie. to think about in terms of that, because again, like we've talked about, we've gotten so many good things, like we don't know what to do when a bad one comes along.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 9% right now on Rotten Tomato.
The thing I see a lot of has been like, oh, it's superhero fatigue. I'm like, I don't think it's superhero fatigue.
No, it's just a bad movie.
That is just a bad film, yeah. And honestly, I think, you know, it doing losses is not bad. I think it's going to be a kind of a deal that says we can't just make things to make things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We have to try it out. But Fantastic Four is expected to lose almost $100 million.
Yeah.
If that tells you anything. And Tomorrowland lost almost $150 maximum dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I feel kind of bad. Pixels is third on the list. So listen to our Pixels podcast if you want to go over that one. And Man from U.N.C.L.E. was fourth. And I thought that's sad because actually kind of that movie's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to toss those out there saying, you know, Fantastic Four, you suck. To give up.
Yeah. Well, like you said, they're not really going to get any sort of a word out from the studio what's going to be the future of this movie until it's out of theaters, because they want it to make as much money as possible. And then once it's kind of off the theater slate, you'll start hearing executives or writers or directors saying, oh, no, we're not making another one. It was a bad movie.
Yeah. The popular trend is everyone's like, oh, Fox says they're going to stick with it. Well, of course they're going to say that. Like, they don't want to trash talk their movie like until it's out of people's mind. So I think we're still going to hear good things about from Fox until after it's on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
But which brings me to my next point, we may have a chance at Marvel to bring it back.
So what's going on with Marvel? You know, I was kind of I've heard some rumblings this week, and I'm curious what's going on.
Okay, so first off, Marvel Studios is no longer under Marvel Entertainment.
Okay.
Marvel Studios is its own department directly under Disney now.
Mm-hmm.
So it no longer exists with Marvel Comics and Marvel TV.
Okay.
So and imagine a trickle down. There's Disney at the top, right?
Yeah.
And then it used to go to Marvel. And then Marvel would split up between Marvel TV, Marvel Film, and Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marvel Studios has been removed from that and reports directly to Disney.
Oh, okay.
Which is good, because the person who has caused the most issues with Marvel Studios and like their dealings and such has been Isaac Perlmutter, the CEO of Marvel Entertainment,
mm-hmm.
who is the guy who, like, you know, says we're not going to make X-Men toys because we don't own the X-Men film rights. We're not helping
mm-hmm.
them. This is the guy who wants to cancel the Fantastic Four comics because they don't own the film rights.
Wow,
this is bizarre. This is that guy who holds petty differences over nothing, right?
Oh wow, I've never heard of this guy.
Yeah, you wonder why there's no Black Widow or Scarlet Witch toys? Because he said girl toys don't sell.
Oh geez, what a dick.
Yeah, so I mean, some of the, it's not nightmare level scenarios, but like he is the reason we get some of these really obscure articles about, like, mm-hmm. you know, women's toys. Oh, why Black Widow not on the cover of the DVDs? Well, it's because this guy is an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, Kevin Feige reports directly to Bob Iger, the head of Disney.
Yeah, and that's honestly all we need to worry about. As long as Kevin Feige still holds the reins to these films, we shouldn't be worried.
Yeah, I'm not worried at all. Actually, I think this cuts out a lot of clutter. It's going to be a smoother process. And this kind of came from the growing budget of Captain America: Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Ike Perlmutter would rather have gotten rid of Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. than rearranged his contract to have him in the movie.
God, you can't do Civil War without Tony Stark.
Right. Well, I mean, that's another, getting Robert Downey Jr. in another Marvel film is another big draw. I mean, he draws a lot of people to those films.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, Civil War, the budget's inflating because it has technically more superheroes than Avengers 2 did.
Yeah, exactly.
And he just didn't want to, you know, work with that. And eventually, you know, the people at Disney were smart. Like, you know, we know when something's good, and we're going to work with Kevin to make it happen.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what got that pulled out.
And honestly, it's kind of funny because it seems relatively insignificant when you think about it, but you can't ignore the fact of toy sales. You know, it's crazy how much money Disney makes just from selling merchandise. I mean, Disney seriously considers all of those things, and it's really important to them. I mean, if you think about it, you know, once you kind of go see the movie in the theater, you know, you got all those ticket sales, have to pay for the production, they have to pay for the marketing. You know, after all that's said and done, where you're really making your money is selling merchandise. You're either selling Blu-rays, you're selling DVDs, you're selling toys, you know, you're selling t-shirts at Target and stuff like that. And Disney's really good at selling that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's good that Disney's on top of all this.
Yeah. Also, to note that the rumor is that Marvel's creative committee has been disbanded because of this.
What is the creative committee? What's that?
Okay, so there's these people who are at Marvel who essentially helped work on the movies at like the scripting phases. Mm-hmm. And they consisted of Brian Michael Bendis, Joe Quesada, Alan Fine, which I think is like the president of Marvel, and I can't think of the last guy's name. I want to say Alan Horn, but I don't know his name. Either way, comic book people would go in and they would get the script and they would rewrite things or like make notes on them and get together and, you know, talk about these movie scripts and then send them back. And what my understanding is, this holds up the process a lot, like because they need to go through the scripts and they want to hold on to things and they would change like little bitty details that make no difference in a film. Mm-hmm. But like in comic book worlds, yeah, that makes perfect sense. But they don't understand, comic book writers don't understand films. And none of these guys had any film or movie credits to them beforehand.
Yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see how that shakes out, because I think it's really easy to look either way on that scenario. You could see like, oh, what happens if they bring in a director who doesn't care about the source material, wants to do whatever he wants to do. But then also, like you just said, you know, it holds up the process. They're trying to crank out, you know, 2 to 3 movies a year here. So they don't really have the time to go through all these revisions of the script. So
especially by people who are like worried over like a detail, like they refer to it as like the sciencey stuff of the script, like things that don't matter. They don't affect the beats or the emotion of the scene. But like, you know, we need to have this thing sitting on the left table behind them, like, to do that kind of thing. But either way, like the creative committee again, we probably won't see its effects until the first movie of 2017, which would be Guardians 2, simply because they're so far in the process for Civil War and Doctor Strange, like we won't see their other changes till then.
Well, we can trust James Gunn, that's for sure.
Yes. Also, a little bit about Marvel. Thor 3 and Captain Marvel are to film in Australia.
Oh, cool.
So that's the current rumors, and I would like to, I think it'd be interesting to see some Australia in this.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. Maybe if wonder if their production will overlap in any sort of the way.
Yeah, that's a good question. Simply because I think they will, because Thor 3, Infinity War, Captain Marvel. So it'll probably pick up right where Thor 3 ends production and Captain Marvel starts.
Yeah, I mean it'll be interesting. Well, I mean it kind of depends. What they do with Captain Marvel, you know, like in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, wasn't Captain Marvel introduced as Carol before she got her powers in that show, I believe?
Yeah. Carol Danvers has been, I mean, she actually was first a character called Binary and then took on the Ms. Marvel mantle.
Yeah,
and
so it'd be...
She has a third iteration. She's all over the place.
Yeah, so it'd be kind of interesting. Maybe we'll see Carol pop up in a movie before she ever gets her powers, just to introduce your character a little bit. And that's always, if these are both...
Yeah, that's always been the rumor. Australia.
Yeah, so that would be kind of cool. So maybe since both of these productions are in Australia, maybe she'll walk on over to set and pop up in Thor 3 somehow.
Yeah, possibly. I think we'll see her in Infinity War first. I think she'll make her appearance in Infinity War. But either way, my next point is Civil War is coming out next year. We've talked about Civil War several times. Mm-hmm. The Hulk is cut from the script, actually, we found out.
Yeah, I read a little bit about that.
So the Hulk, there's no Hulk in the movie, but he was in the first couple drafts. Mm-hmm. And then they cut him because they want to save where he went at the end of Avengers until something else.
Yeah, they said something along the lines of the Hulk's return is too big to just be shared in a movie like Civil War.
Yeah.
Which was kind of funny because when I was watching at the end of Ultron, you know, when he kind of flies away by himself, you know, it never really had a big weight to me. I was just kind of like, oh, you know, he's just kind of disbanding, going his own way. It never really felt like big and emotional to me. It just kind of seemed like, well, Bruce Banner's always been pretty emotional in the film. You know, that's kind of the crux of his character. It wasn't surprising, but who knows? It would be kind of cool to maybe see him come back in a grandiose way.
Yeah, like, I guess when he went away, I figured he was going to go, like, hide out as Bruce Banner, kind of like he did in The Incredible Hulk. Mm-hmm. Like, keep a low profile, not Hulk out, you know, just move from country to country. But apparently it makes it sound like he's gone somewhere very, very important, and he's going to be coming back and doing something really huge from where he's been.
Mm-hmm.
My first gut instinct is Wakanda, but who knows?
He was kind of already there. You know, I'm curious what's going to happen. It's not going to be Planet Hulk, so stop thinking Planet Hulk, people. It's not going to happen. Stop trying to make it happen.
Yeah, it's not Planet Hulk. He's on the Earth somewhere. But
yeah.
You know what's not on Earth? It's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, what's going on with Gotji?
Volume 2, the second draft, has been completed by James Gunn this weekend.
Oh, man, he's getting some work done.
Yeah, if they start filming in February, I mean, they're going to have to get a lot done, especially with digital character models. Uh-huh. But that's pretty cool. He's chugging right along on that. I mean, I've never seen anyone like James Gunn before. Like, he's very vocal, and he's he puts a lot of heart into his stuff.
Yeah.
And it shows, and I'm excited. Like, I was
He's got humble beginnings for sure, and I'm sure most directors have humble beginnings as well, but I feel like he definitely understands the volume of kind of what he's working with.
Yeah, and he appreciates it the entire way. Mm-hmm. But his stuff is the last May movie before Avengers Infinity War, next topic.
Be big.
Apparently starts production October of 2016.
That's about a year away.
Yeah, so by the time Civil War wraps up and is done, like, doing their promotions, that's probably when they'll kick off, like, get everyone together that October. And then, since we already know they're going to film Infinity War Part 1 and 2 back-to-back, like, we're probably going to get a lot of casting announcements by that point. Along the lines of Captain Marvel and Inhumans, which will play a big part of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, every time I think about these Infinity War movies, especially Part 2, I always think about the original Infinity War storyline, and I have
the trade.
It's pretty beefy. I want to say it's maybe two or three trades wide. But I just keep thinking about that final battle where they're just all in space, and they're all kind of on like that floating rock in some sort of weird kind of dimension almost, and they're just beating on Thanos. So I just keep thinking of like that second part of the movie just taking place in like maybe just in big studios with big green screens. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, most of Guardians of the Galaxy was probably on sets like that too. But, you know, that could be a good thing for this second part of the film, because, I mean, if it's going to be filmed that far ahead, you know, they got to keep things from leaking. They got to keep things from getting out there, like set photos and stuff. So, I mean, if it's a closed-off set, not out in the open, they might be able to do that.
Well, I know everyone's kind of jumping to Infinity Gauntlet as the go-to storyline, and I think they would have called it Infinity Gauntlet if they were going to base it on that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's an Infinity War series ever, but I think my mind goes to the latest comics series called Infinity, written by Jonathan Hickman, where Thanos comes to Earth. He doesn't have the Infinity Stones, but he comes to Earth, and like there's a big battle between all the heroes and Thanos on Earth, more so than in space.
Yeah, well, that's one thing that I think they might change, is if they went with kind of Infinity Gauntlet storyline, I definitely see if they're breaking up into the two movies, we're going to have chunks in space and we're going to have chunks on Earth. You know, I could see like a big battle happening in space, and then at the very end, it all comes back to Earth, kind of where it all started. The whole reason why they're fighting is to protect this planet. So it kind of makes sense if that's where the final blow ended. You know, I'm still crossing my fingers thinking it's going to be Chris Evans picking up Thor's hammer and smacking Thanos in the face. So I'm hoping that's what happens, but
well, I take oh, it that's, I take it back. Infinity War is the sequel to Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, okay.
Because there's Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War, then Infinity Crusade, and they are all kind of like a big overarching like trilogy, with Infinity Gauntlet being the most popular of them.
Gotcha.
And this one involves all, like, if you look at it, it's all the covers of all the Marvel heroes on the front, and Adam Warlock taking the gauntlet after Thanos dropped it, which I don't think it'll be anything like that at all. So yeah. I'm really excited to see what they do with it, because it's, you know, the same directors of, you know, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Civil War, the Russo brothers, with Christopher Markus and Stephen McFeely writing it. I'm really excited.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of a minor point. I don't think it's really a bulleted section of itself in our show notes, but Chris Evans said that he's open to doing more films. You know, he was very adamant, saying early in the Marvel phases that, you know, he was going to kind of move on. He was going to go behind the camera, maybe think about directing. But he was in an interview with somebody that I guess he's kind of known from the past, and they recorded it, and he said he felt like such an idiot for saying those things. You know, he said this franchise has been so good for him as an actor, and it's been such a success for him that if Marvel wants more of Chris Evans, he'll give it to him. So,
well, see, I took that as a different, because he said when he like started that he didn't think he was going to take Captain America because of the Human Torch. And if he passed on it, that would have been him making that huge mistake and being stupid. But that he's still going to direct after he's done with Infinity War. But, like, he'll be directing and then just starring in pretty much Captain America movies when he wants to act.
Yeah, I don't know. I would see both.
I could see him doing both, and I would love every minute of it. Chris Evans is great. I watched Snowpiercer a couple weeks ago.
I still need to see that. Yeah, I mean, it's always kind of a cool experiment when actors get behind the camera, because sometimes the results can be phenomenal. But it kind of puts my original theory of Infinity War Part 2 on shaky ground, that, you know, I'm just assuming Captain America is going to die, you know, trying to save the Earth in Infinity War Part 2, and then Bucky will take up the helm. But the more and more I look at, was it Sebastian Shaw? The more and more I look at Bucky, I just can't imagine him, like, picking up the helm, like... it's really easy to do in comic books, you know, it's easy to draw them to kind of fit the role, kind of retool the character. But, you know, when you have an actor, like a human person, I just can't see Bucky really leading the Avengers. But I don't know, maybe they'll find a way to flesh his brooding self out a little bit more in these next couple films. But I don't know, that's going to be a whole new thing that we haven't touched on yet, is what happens when one of these standard staple heroes dies and just doesn't continue on.
Yeah, I think they drop it, honestly, because I can't see the character they cast as Bucky. He's a frowny face, and Chris Evans is a smiley face. Like, he exudes Captain America. And, I mean, I watched Captain America 1 on Friday recently, and you know, you can kind of tell, like, Bucky's the opposite spectrum, but
I mean, it's the I mean Chris Evans is the reason why Captain America is at the top of so many people's list. I mean, what you said, he was like number what, 2 or 3 for you in, with Marvel heroes?
He just nailed it. Couldn't have gotten better.
So we'll see how that shakes out.
I mean, something else he nailed, Agent Carter.
That's the best segue we've ever had.
That one just came to me. But Agent Carter Season 2 has begun filming, and a new image shows that Agent Sousa, who we remember from Season 1, is now Peggy's boss.
Yeah, I need to go back and rewatch that season. You know, especially you, since you had such a difficult time trying to watch that first season with, like, basketball getting in your way. But, yeah, I've kind of forgotten a lot of the finer points that happened in that season, just because it's kind of short, and it kind of it's at the very beginning of the year, so...
Right, well, the actual, I think it's the DVD comes out in like 2 weeks. The season is released in 2 weeks on DVD, Blu-ray. So I'll be buying it then and watching all 8 episodes.
Now, I wonder if it's on Hulu.
No. It would be on Netflix, but it's not on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Simply because they have such a Marvel, like... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s on not on Hulu, but it's on Netflix in its entirety. But I think they're going to put it more on there whenever season 1 or season 2 rolls around. But either way, it comes out in a couple weeks. I think 2 weeks. to be exact, and I hope it's not expensive because it's only 8 episodes.
Yeah. Like, and the ridiculous. Only reason you're hearing me say Hulu without disdain in my voice is because they have that new commercial-free tier. So yes. I'm giving them a chance. I'm going to do that 30-day free trial they have. I'm going to give it a shot.
30 days? Oh, my God. I only got a week free trial.
Yeah, I think it's 30 days. But, I mean, it's a little bit more pricier than Netflix because Netflix is $8 a month, I think.
Netflix is 8 or 9, and Hulu is now 11 or so.
Yeah, I think it's 11 or 12. But, like, commercial-free television, like, the day after it airs, I will be totally on board with that. So I'm thinking about giving Hulu my money, which is something I never thought I'd say.
Yeah, at least not with that kind of happiness in your voice.
Yeah.
What about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2? Are you ready for it? Or Season 3? I apologize.
Yeah, I'm ready.
There's a new trailer for it as well. A promo video.
Yeah, I watched it. There's not a whole lot there.
It's a lot of old stuff. However, yeah. We get our first tease at Lash, the main villain.
It's just a silhouette. It wasn't enough for me to justify putting it in our featured image for our show, just because it's just like a really crappy silhouette. But there is definitely a character in that outline.
If you go back to last week's podcast where we talk about Lash in Season 3, and look at the image I put on YouTube, he matches up. That silhouette matches up to that character, what it looks like in the comics.
Yeah.
And it's I'm glad it's prosthetics and like real effects rather than just CG.
Yeah. And they can't afford all that CG anyway.
They couldn't, but I think I'm glad, and it makes me really happy for that. So the promo video gets me excited for Season 3 S.H.I.E.L.D., which starts up at the end of this month, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, we're like 3 weeks away from everything, man.
It is. It's been a huge fall. Daredevil Season 2 is a little farther off. However,
yes.
This newest image lets us, wants to punish people. Because the Punisher, it shows his gun collection.
He is armed tooth and nail.
I don't see any teeth or nails in here, but there are a lot of guns. However, the only title or the only word that went with this was Punish, and that was it. And it's a selfie of the guy who plays the Punisher, Shane.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah, be honest.
I don't think I know what tooth and nail really means. It just seemed to fit, and I was just like, once I thought about it, I was like, what the hell does that even mean, tooth to nail? I don't even know if I used it in the right sense, but someone write in and tell me what the hell tooth and nail means, then I'll try to use it appropriately.
This is not a podcast for colloquialisms, so I think we're okay. we never said we were, but looking at this, it looks like a gun collection for like Counter-Strike games. I want to pick that gun and play with it.
He's ready to go to war. I want to see him just tear up the city.
He's gonna punish some people. But yeah, that's great. I'm ready for Daredevil Season 2. We also know that the actor Steven Ryder, has joined as a character called Black Tower.
Now, what is a Black Tower?
It's his name. Like, it's just a character. He's a district attorney.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. He's Blake Tower, but he's a black man.
Oh no!
I was gonna say,
when you said Black Tower, that just sounded like a supervillain to me.
It does. So, Steven Ryder, he's a regular in the show as District Attorney Blake Tower.
And Chris!
I know. the worst part is like on his Twitter, like he's like. Recently, he put "Living His Dreams" when they announced this, and he used like all of the new Apple emoji with like the different races.
Oh no!
That's cool. Like that's great. They can do that, but now I just feel stupid.
Oh, it's okay, Blake. We love you.
Yeah. Actually, his name's Steven Ryder, but yes, Steven, we love you. I'm sorry. Let's go to the actual black superhero. How about that?
Okay.
Luke Cage. We have a production title.
Uh-huh.
Called Tiara.
I like that.
Do you get the reference?
No, I don't, but I like the juxtaposition between Luke Cage and a little tiara.
So when Luke Cage appeared, I think in like the 70s, and he was known as Power Man, he's wearing an afro, and on that afro, he has a tiara around his head.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's great. It's a great name for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're ramping up production because they've now cast three people.
Okay.
This week, actor Theo Rossi joins as the villain Shades, who I know nothing about.
Yeah, don't know anything about Shades.
Simone Missick joins as Misty Knight, who is a...
Don't know any...
Misty Knight lost her arm, I think, somehow in the comics. And then Tony Stark made her a metal arm.
Oh, that's cool.
And in the comics. And she could totally be doing that. You know, she could get a new prosthetic arm from Stark Enterprises in the new one as well. But Misty Knight's a very big staple of Luke Cage and Heroes for Hire.
Oh, is she a hero then?
Yes, I would say so. Yes, she's okay. She's a good person. And lastly, the main villain, Cottonmouth, has been cast with Mahershala Ali.
Oh, okay.
He is in Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1 and 2.
Okay.
I will put his image up for people to see.
Okay, yeah, he it was also in House of Cards, I believe.
Yes, he's in House of Cards.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, these are three pretty big names. I mean, we get the main villain and Misty Knight, a staple for any comic, like any Luke Cage Hero for Hire thing. Mm-hmm. And they actually had confirmed that Rosario Dawson will be returning as Claire Temple in this series as well.
Oh, cool.
So, a lot of casting going on. I'm excited for that. Not as excited as Star Wars Episode 8.
Oh, Star Wars!
Right, you might be thinking, why Star Wars Episode 8? What's up with that? Why not 7? Yeah. Well, 7 had Force Friday, which they unleashed all the toys on the public and sold out almost instantly this weekend.
Did you snag a BB-8?
I did not get a BB-8. That's $150. That's a rough price.
I know, I wanted one so bad, but I was like, $50 was my limit if I was going to get it. And then once I learned it was 3 times more expensive, I was like, nope.
I want the lightsaber, the Kylo Ren lightsaber to go with my other lightsabers.
The three-way lightsaber.
Had I not sent masks to my groomsmen, everyone would have got a lightsaber.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah, so I like the mask. The only thing I wish I had a mask was a Vision mask. That was the only thing I wish I had. But either way, the actress shortlist to be the main female lead in Star Wars Episode 8 is down to 3 people. The only one I know is Tatiana Maslany. She's the main actress in Orphan Black who plays all her clones.
Okay.
She's won tons of awards. Gina Rodriguez and Olivia Cook.
Huh. Not familiar with Gina Rodriguez.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with her. I'm not familiar with Olivia Cook off the top of my head. She's like in Bates Motel, the series that was kind of going on. And the movie version of Ouija board. So, honestly, I don't care who they cast in Star Wars 8. I trust them.
Yeah, we trust them. I was just talking a little bit about Star Wars today because, you know, we're getting closer to December, so I kind of need to set up my Star Wars marathon. You know, I got to rewatch all these movies before we go. And I was just like, I got to get ready. Like, what month do I want to do it in? When is too close? When is too soon? What snacks do I want to eat in my own home when I'm watching them?
You got this ironed out. Well, I mean, we have a Star Wars project coming up pretty soon, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been rewatching them, but with also the director's commentary a second time.
Okay.
And I've been gathering a fun list of facts for these movies. I've gone through episodes 1 and 2 thus far, so it's only getting better.
Yeah, it seems like the plan, we're just going to kind of assemble an interesting fact sheet of things that you may or may not know about Star Wars, and we'll have some fun imagery there, and it'll be a cool little thing that you can reference and feel a little bit smarter when you go into Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love our History of Marvel project. That was so amazing, but that was so much writing. If we were going to release a book, I'd say, yeah, let's do that again, but I think this list of fun facts, like, there's so much fun facts in Star Wars that people just don't know. And I've learned so much from the director's commentary as well.
Yeah, you were like a sponge, too. I listened to that podcast that you were on last week, and you were schooling some of those guys that own and work at a comic book store.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the Bagged and Bearded podcast is out. Episode 11, I think, on Secret Wars, and that was fun. It's a two-hour. That's a long show.
Yeah, I would recommend it for anybody out there that wants to listen to more superhero stuff. I really like that segment that you guys did at the end. What was it? Something to do with the DMV?
The super fights.
Yeah, that was fun. I thought that was really creative.
So that game, it's a card game. It's a lot like Apples to Apples or like Cards Against Humanity, but you get like a superhero card, and two powers cards, and then you you choose three characters, and then you get some powers, and you pick one character and one power, and you get a random card that you don't know what it is, but it's another power you have. Mm. Or it could be, like, not a power. Like, one guy was like, you know, I am in a wheelchair. Or I'm paralyzed from my eyes down. Like, that was his mystery card, which lost him the game. Because I won with Loki, who goes invisible when he sings a show tune. And that was, I don't know, that was fun. That game, it was pretty awesome. That podcast is awesome. This guy is great. I'm going to be going back for more, actually. They've invited me back for more shows.
Oh, cool.
Those I'll record it Wednesday at midnight. So,
oh, man, it's so late.
God bless America. But, yeah, so that's great. That's a good plug for that. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
No problem. That's what these podcasts got to do. We got to support each other.
Yeah, really. And they're great guys. Like, I mean, honestly, like, the best comic book store I could ever find. Like, that's the way I'm going to put it.
Yeah, well, but either way, you're a sponge, and you soak up info.
Well, thank you. So what we're going to talk about is I want to go over the pilots I watched this week, actually, real quick.
Yeah, I want to hear what you think about them, because I kind of, like, rolled my eyes.
You scoffed at me. Like, yeah, I scoffed. Yeah, so I watched Lucifer, Minority Report, and the episode zero of Heroes Reborn this week.
Yeah, the only thing I'm interested in is Heroes.
So Lucifer, we've talked about before, it's a comic book movie based on the Neil Gaiman Sandman series, or spinoff called Lucifer, where he goes and runs a bar, a piano bar in, you know, L.A., because he leaves hell and he's like, fuck this job. I'm going to go run this. Well, this is actually more of him going there and then he's like helping this one person solve a murder, but he can't, his like power of seduction and like dark desires does not work on this one girl. And they don't explain that. That's kind of like be like the season arc thing. Like, why does it not work on her? But it's a murder mystery show. Episode one was great. I'm going to be honest.
Wow. I'm so surprised you're saying that.
Lucifer was the best one of these three shows.
Oh, wow.
That I watched. My fiance, actually, she was like, I don't know what it is, but that show drew me in, and I want to watch more.
I'm surprised.
And I am too. I thought Lucifer would be the lowest on this list. But the main guy who plays Lucifer, he's British. He's got a good confidence. Like, he can't die, and, like, no one believes him. And, like, that's some of the best stuff in that. When people are like, I can't die, or I'm immortal. And, like, the shooting, he's like, you're just not getting this, are you? Like, I am immortal. So that's awesome. I like Lucifer. I'll probably add that to my list of shows to watch.
Wow, I might have to give it a shot then. Yeah, it comes recommended by Chris.
Pilots. Hero or Minority Report is the one I had the highest hopes for. And it just was mediocre.
Yeah, it kind of the trailer that I saw kind of made it feel like that.
It was simply because I think it's one of those. This is another murder mystery, and it's going to focus on like a murder of the week kind of deal, dealing with like half of the Minority Report like movie, like because you only got one guy. His brother is missing, and he's still going to be the overarching story. It's where is his missing brother, who has the other half of the visions? But the technology, the effects in this one are pretty awesome. I will give it that because they've, you know, taken the Minority Report, you know, move screens around, like moving your hands and fingers, and put that in contact lenses.
Okay.
So people can see screens and stuff with their recording contact lenses. And I liked it enough to say I will probably try the second one, but not enough to give it a definitive, I need to watch this season.
Okay.
So that was a mediocre. Heroes Reborn, not episode one, but episode zero. It's like a 45-minute precursor to how the series kicks off.
So is this something that people have to watch to understand episode one?
Not even. This is a web series released online in like five parts.
Oh, okay.
And they combine it into one big show. It's found footage-ish.
Why?
So, essentially, people... At the end of Heroes, we know that Claire Bennett revealed herself to the world by filming herself, jumping, and then healing herself. So everyone who has powers, you know, is like, oh, I'm going to film myself. This is attempt number one, and they do their power or whatever. And this is like a video documentary of a guy... who I actually interviewed, Henry Zebrowski. He's in on Adult Swim's Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. I interviewed him at C2E2, had no idea he was in Heroes. Following him and his sister has powers. So It's all a documentary footage of that leading up to where the first episode kicks off. I was not impressed, and hopefully the series is not this found footage shit, because I'm going to be really, really mad. Because I thought this was actually episode one before I watched it, because they don't market it very well. And I was like, this is awful. But if it's not found footage, I have more hope. The story's better, I think. This is a better story than what we left Heroes with. But I hope it's not found footage.
Yeah, I typically never give any time of the day to any sort of web shorts or anything. You know, if it's something made by like an original creator and it only lives online, you know, I'll give it a shot. But like, I think even like when The Office was on NBC, and The Office was funny and I liked it, and they produced some kind of stuff just for the web, I never went and watched that stuff. So yeah, I probably won't watch episode zero, but yeah. I want to give this Reborn a shot, just because the first season of that show originally was so good, and then it suffered from the writer's strike. But I'm hoping that I can just go into it and not have to like go back and watch any old episodes. I hope they just find a way to connect me back to these old seasons. I don't have to bother putting work into it.
Yeah, I mean, this takes place, I think it's 10 years later, or so many years later, 5 years later or something. Yeah. And they reference older events, but you don't have to know them. They show you what happens.
Oh, good.
Thus far. And I don't know. I'm excited. I'm ready for Heroes to have a good streak again. And anything to get the guy with the horn-rimmed glasses back, because he's like one of my favorite like anti-villains.
Yeah, but it sounds like we're not going to have the best part. One of the best parts was the villain, and he's now a movie star now. What's his name?
Zachary Quinto.
He played Spock.
That's okay, because they got the guy who played Chuck as like the main kind of antagonist in this one. He's dressed up to look exactly like Skyler or Siler. Oh, well, long story short, we're going to end on some depressing news here.
Long story short, Wes Craven died.
He did. He did die this week. I'm not a horror film person, but I know he is responsible for Nightmare on Elm Street and like creating that genre of films. And other things, you know, Scream and his the TV show Scream is kind of making a resurgence.
Yeah, I mean, he's very much one of those directors that is so prolific. It doesn't matter if you don't watch horror. Some of his ideas or some of his inspiration has somehow connected to something that you watch. So it's always sad when we lose someone like that. I mean, someone could say like, oh, you know, he was getting old, he was past his prime, but that doesn't even matter anymore. I mean, look at Mad Max. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can still be an awesome director. So it's a shame that we couldn't get anything else from him. But I didn't really watch much of his movies either, but I can definitely respect the craft and what he did.
Yeah, I know he did Swamp Thing. He directed and wrote Swamp Thing. Which is, I'm pretty sure Swamp Thing is a DC character. So this is kind of why I bring this in to this. Because, you know, Swamp Thing is... Marvel has their own thing called Man-Thing, who also got a movie. So, I don't know. I mean, he did a DC movie way back in 1982, before this was even a big deal. And I think, you know, he's come a long way. And... we're sad he passed, but you know, he has a great legacy left behind him.
Yeah, anyone wishes that they could leave behind the legacy that he did. So that's super awesome. You know, we can be cheerful that the stuff that he made will stick around forever. So
yeah,
good job, Wes Craven. Rest in peace.
Yes. So that's it for our news today. You got an hour out of this. I kind of want to get people heads up for next week. You're gone.
Yeah, I'm going to be...
You're leaving me next week.
Yeah, I'm going to be... I got a couple weddings coming up, so I think this wedding coming up, I won't be back until, like, Monday, so I didn't really want to delay the podcast, so you found a solution.
We did. We have a guest person coming on the show with me.
Now I'm all worried that that our listeners are going to like him better than like me.
Well, I'm going to be bringing on a fellow Comic UI founder and my best man at my wedding, Brian Smith.
Oh, I'm worried now. He's going to replace me.
He actually gave me my first comic books on a CD. He's the guy who gave me the Civil War comic.
I'm screwed.
But here's the deal. I know he's listening right now. He listens to our show every week. And he has this thing where he's like, I talk to the podcast. Like, he's like, it's so hard not to talk at you guys while I'm doing this. And I'm not going to show him the show notes until the day of.
Okay. Well, I'm sure he's going to do a great job.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. I'm glad. I thank you for the opportunity to have someone else on. I know we've been really adamant about being on this, even if we've had to push it a day or two. Episodes, we're 34 episodes in, man.
Yeah, we're pushing through strong.
And we're on the downhill side for the rest of the year. And I don't know. I'm excited next week. You're going to be having a good time at a wedding. We're going to keep the superhero slate going, and then maybe again in October. Is that right?
Yeah, these weddings just don't stop. Once you reach this mid to late 20s age in your lifetime, everybody you know just starts getting married. So you kind of got to make time for all these things. And
these are so late in the year. That's the thing. Like, I'm in July, and I'm like, that's pretty early.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got married about a year ago in October.
Yours October, yeah, because it was cold as balls.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just the fall. The fall is when people get married. People like the leaves. People like the temperate climate. So just be prepared, everybody. Once you crack those mid-20s, make sure you save all your vacation days for your brand-new job out of college in the fall for when your friends get married.
Well, you got vacation days, you son of a bitch. I don't get them. I'm a contractor, but that's beside the point. If people want to follow you on your wedding excursion next week, Mike, where can they find you at?
Oh, well, they can follow me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter or Instagram, and you can go to my website, pickledcomics.com, to read my webcomics.
You've been checking those out this week, haven't you?
Yeah, I try to do once a week, you know. Got to get to that grind, got to build that audience. But, hopefully we'll get another one out here this week. But if they want to follow you, Chris, where can they follow you?
Well, they can follow me at Twitter, named Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N, or on Comic UI. .com or on Facebook, Comic UI. We put a lot of stuff on Facebook. I go there first. Mm-hmm. That's about it for me right mm-hmm. now. I need to do some more social media, but I've just been working so much trying to get some stuff done before the winter season hits. But or they can just find us on superheroslate.com.
Yeah, we're busy bees, everybody. Yeah, please go to superheroslate.com. That's the best place to connect to every place that we connect to. That's a weird way to say it, but we're on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, Tumblr, email. You can like us on Facebook, which is a great way to follow the show. You can follow us on Twitter, too. These are all avenues perfectly fine to enjoy Superhero Slate, and the best thing you can do if you're super fans is go to iTunes and leave us a review. The reviews help us connect to other people who are searching for superhero stuff on iTunes, and we want people to enjoy the gospel of Superhero Slate. So,
or they at least make us laugh. I mean, we like a good review.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I keep forgetting to bring up is we have awesome show notes on superheroslate.com where you can go and refer to everything that we're talking about, all these links and everything, and even better, all the work that you put into the YouTube video. You can subscribe on YouTube and you can get a little visual aids when you're listening to us, which is really cool.
And not only that, you can click the time codes on YouTube to go to specific parts.
Man,
so if you're listening to the podcast and you're like, well, I want to see this now, go to YouTube, click the time code on the notes, and it goes you right there. Like, I do it for you guys. That's all.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting. I'm actually considering, Mike, I want to throw this to you on air.
Okay.
Apple iOS 9 is coming out next week, no doubt about it.
Okay.
Okay. There's an Apple News app. Do we belong on Apple News? Should we leave it up to our fan?
I don't think I know what Apple News is, but if it's easy to integrate, we might as well give it a shot.
It's an RSS feed. But we'll talk about it later, but let us know if you're going to be using Apple News, people, because we can make it work. I actually have Comic UI and Apple News app already. And if Superhero Slate can get there, by God, we're gonna put it there.
Our news coverage is so juicy, I don't see why it can't be there.
Yeah, I'd want to be there. I want to be all up in iOS 9.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before we bounce out, what are you doing with your free Labor Day day on Monday?
Jack shit, actually. I'm going to use a day off. Like I said, I've been working Saturdays and stuff, doing video and photo work. Probably go cook out and listen to some Mac Sabbath. What about you?
Ooh, yeah, man. I'm just going to be my wife's going to be making pies all day. She wants to enter this pie competition in Los Angeles because she loves baking. So she's making like 7 pies. It's going to be wonderful.
So it's a pie baking contest or a pie eating contest? Because no, I was really hoping it's a pie eating contest.
No, it's definitely just the baking contest, but I will be doing the eating.
You lucky son of a bitch. That's a good day. I think we got it. And I hope everybody, even if you don't listen to us till Tuesday, have a happy Labor Day.
Yeah, go eat some pie, and hopefully this podcast comforts you through your 4-day work week.
Yes, or you know, at least you know, from your food coma after you get all that pie.
All right, well, bye everybody. We love you.
See you. Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe.